What? Need to restart it?
No, I don't think so. I'm just forgetting. One second here, folks.
Man, New Year's right around the corner, Mike. We're gonna get our shit together in 2025. I can already feel it. We're gonna lose weight. We're gonna be healthy. We're gonna be on time. My lens are gonna be cleaned before the show, not during the show. Oh, brother. Craziest thing about going to the outlets after Christmas, I didn't think about it. I was like, there'll be some people bringing some stuff back or whatever. But when they show up with like new money, I didn't think about that. You know, Mama and Papa gave them some money.
Yeah.
And now they're all there shopping away. Whew, I tell you what, it's amazing that I did not get a dent in the truck. Tanger's good at shopping, terrible at parking.
Okay, let's just do this. Oh shit, it's still not working.
Do we need to roll back?
No intro. We'll just have to go.
This is your intro.
Yeah, whether you wanted it or not, that was your intro. Welcome in, latest episode, That SEC Podcast. Trying to figure out how to work his damn thing. Cousin Shane, everybody's favorite Cousin Shane. What's up, brother?
Merry Christmas.
buddy. We have got...
Before we get into that, Mike, do you have a good Christmas?
Yeah. I mean, I just... Yeah, it was nice to get some time off. That was the nicest thing. Yeah. It was football wall to wall. So, yeah, I mean, no complaints over here, buddy. How about you?
No, it's good, man. It's good seeing all the family. And like you said, just kind of taking your foot off the gas for a little bit. And it feels like, Mike, I would jump on. I'd go a whole day without getting on Twitter. And I'd get on and I was like, shit, I should have stayed off another day. Another ball jumped into the portal. You know, it's like, but other than that, brother, it was fantastic seeing everybody. And I hope everybody that's on today had a wonderful Christmas and getting their what to's out of the way. You know, because I'm telling you, Mike, 2025, I've told you about it. Of course, I've said this for 42 years. Yep. That this is the year that I'm going to get healthy and whatnot. So we've been like, it's almost like we're in jail and they ask for our final meal, but we've had like the final five meals. So we've got it all mapped out where we wanted to eat some of our favorite places. But come January 1st, we're hitting it hard. So it's been really good, but damn, expensive and a lot of weights. And today we did Japanese. It was wonderful. So
why would you start on January 1st and not like December 1st or...
Well, I'm not
Richard 10 years ago.
I'm not Richard Simmons here. You know, I said I can't just jump up and sweat to the oldies, Mike. The one thing I will say about this year, it feels different because the whole family's in. The wife's in. The kids are in. Okay. They're saying, hey, let's clean this thing out. Take the cabinets. We're going to empty it all out. Get all that stuff that kind of triggers, you know, those gateway drugs, I like to call them, you know, like peanut butter or something. It leads to, you know, a damn Cinnabon. But that stuff's going to be out of the house, and we're just doing everything fresh. So fruit, veggies, and, of course, meat, a lot of meat. So that's what we're going to stick with, a lot of water, getting rid. I'm going to do 30 days, no beer, see how that goes. Yeah.
That'll last a day. this is how this is bad, Shane. Cousin Taylor, he says, I really hope you get healthier too, Mike. Like, oh, don't rope me into this damn thing. I mean, hell, yeah. I know I need it, but this is about Shane here for this moment, isn't it?
Yeah, look at you sound like that guy in Dodgeball, you know?
Chris wants to know, Shane, did you get a lifetime Cracker Barrel card?
No, clearly, that's why I'm going on a diet. You know, I did not. I did get some gift cards, none to Cracker Barrel, believe it or not. But, you know, I like I said, I'm pumped up about everything the kids and family did for me. And, it was an awesome, awesome Christmas. But, you know, we got some awesome football coming up, Mike. That's what they're here for. And you know, I'm not going to say the SEC has kind of shit the bed in the postseason, but – kind of feels like it a little bit, Mike. Feels like we're not representing this great conference.
No, but you know who is always representing Shaynette's cousin, JR? What a man. What a man.
Cuz.
Took a week off. Cousin JR didn't even notice. He said, welcome, Spencer. He just gifted you a membership. Spencer,
welcome to the family.
And as always, brought to you by MyBookie. MyBookie, online sportsbook. Don't forget, if you haven't already, hey, there's still time, Shane. MyBookie is not just college football. I know we're running out of college football here, but if you go to mybookie.ag, that's a website, put in that promo code, that. SEC, THATSEC. You can still wager on these playoff games. We got a couple bowl games. We got NFL playoffs right around the corner. You use that promo code, they'll match your initial deposit up to 50% just today. Shane. And how about appreciate your Texas transplant? Got the pit going for some bone in ribeyes tonight. Ooh, baby.
Come on.
It's New Year's. Brisket, sausage, spare ribs, Texas. Arizona State, hope you have a happy new year, cousins. And hook up. Here we are talking about a diet. He's like, here's all this deliciousness we'll throw at you.
Isn't there like a New Year's meal that everybody eats? It's like hominy and...
It's like black-eyed peas or something?
Yeah. So that's New Year's Day, right? Everybody, do you do that? Do you, you know,
I don't
believe in
any of
that. You don't have a tradition that you do? Oh, man.
My tradition is making a vow that I give up by mid-January.
I didn't know if you had something, Mike. That's what we had planned, and doing a little early spring cleaning. So yeah, sounds fun. But anyway, I'm just rambling. It's been a while since I talked to anybody, Mike. I've been just driving and chauffeuring around, and you know what I'm saying. So it's good to see some adult interaction tonight.
Right. Well, we got a ton to get to, Shay. This took hours and hours to get ready. And then on the back end here, it crashed right before we went going. So I don't even know what this is going to be, Shane. I don't know what we're going to be able to showcase the cousins. Hopefully it all works out. Fingers crossed. But let's get into the action, Shane, because there's so much. We missed games. We got games coming up. We got portals. We got transfers. We got coaches coming and going. And how often, Shane? Only one time in my life can I remember we got to start with this team. So I'm going to start with them right off the bat. Because they got another big one, Shane. Hopefully they can see this. The Commodores win the Birmingham Bowl. This was a bowl game. When the assignments came out, Shane, everybody said, well, buddy, this might be the best damn non-playoff game on the board. And quite honestly, Vanderbilt took care of business. 35-27. MVP Diego Pavia. What a legend, Shane. Yeah. What a legend. 5 touchdowns for our man Diego. Came right out. Scored on an 87-yard touchdown drive. And really, you know, this was a back-and-forth game there for a little while. Mm-hmm. It was 14-13 right out of the second half start. And then Vanderbilt went down and scored, picked off Haynes King, scored again. Georgia Tech fumbled, scored again, 35-13. That was all she wrote for the most part for them Commodores, Shane. But, this is just a new level of Vanderbilt football that I'm still wrapping my head around here, Shane. Where we come out here and we dominate a team that damn near beat Georgia last time they took the field. And a big part of it, the red zone. I love the red zone. I talk about it every time, Shane. 5 for 5, Vanderbilt was for 35 points. That's how you win games like this. They averaged over 12 yards per pass completion. Again, Diego had the 5 touchdowns. And Eli Stowers led the team, 4 catches, 55 yards. But very, very impressive showing, I thought, overall by Vanderbilt. In a game that many had as a toss-up, and quite frankly, many thought Georgia Tech, after that momentum they got in the Georgia game, would come out here and beat Vanderbilt. And Pavia said, hell no to that.
Well, it was awesome, man. I feel like this was one of the best games because it at times felt like it was Haynes King versus Pavia, back and forth. They both did excellent. Other than, you know, that pick that Haynes had, I felt like this could have been anybody's game, but... You know, when Vanderbilt had the opportunities, they took advantage of it. And one thing that we talk about is, we talk about the Heisman and how it gets skewed a little bit, but there is a guy here, man, for the Vanderbilt Commodores that, if not for him, would not be in this bowl game.
Yeah.
You know, would not have won this bowl game. He was 5 touchdowns. I mean, the stat line was impressive enough, but it's more impressive those little 2-3-4 yard gets that he got to keep the chains moving. You know, this is a kid that went out there and played like there's no tomorrow. And I absolutely love that. And that's exactly why Vanderbilt won this game. And what a hell of a season, man. I saw Coach Lee celebrating at the end of this thing. It was just an awesome, awesome thing for them Commodore fans.
Yeah. And they were chippy as hell, Shane. There was multiple like near fights.
Officiating a little. A little wild in this gun. I'll give them that.
Must have been some SEC refs calling this one. I'll give it to Tech. I understand them being upset. We had Brent Keep, the Georgia Tech coach, push one of his damn players. Got I never seen that before in my life, Shane. A coach got flagged for pushing one of his guys. This was a wild damn game, but the tougher, grittier team won it.
Yeah.
And couldn't be happier. Again, Vanderbilt now 7-6. Got a winning season. First time since I can't even remember, but I think 2016, maybe something like that. But obviously the first time under Clark Lee reaching a bowl game and winning it. Again, if you're Alabama or something like that, Tennessee 7-6, yeah, that's something to celebrate. But here at Vanderbilt, I mean, it's taking that steps you need.
Yeah.
And since we have last talked, Shane, Diego. Oh, Diego beat the NCAA. I can't remember if we've talked about that or not, but it is official. So here, they've come out, and this is confusing, so I wanted to clarify for the folks. If you went to junior college, and you are in your last season, so Diego, right? So he's been to junior college. He has no more eligibility. The NCAA said, all right, you can come back. And not just Diego, but any junior college player that is in his final season of eligibility is free to come back for one more year. So again, that's very confusing. Let's say you're a junior college player and you're in your first year and you got more to come. They're not giving you extra years. I don't know why. I just know that's the way it is. Someone will probably sue them and they'll probably get there for years, but that's the ruling as of today. So Diego is back. He has announced it. Jerry Kill, the offensive analyst, pretty much the co-head coach. He says he's coming back. And they're trying to get Eli Stowers, outstanding tight end, to come back for another year. He's committed to coming back as well. I don't know that that's official quite yet. But now that we know all that, Shane, let me ask you if I can play these. Diego refused to lose. Hopefully this plays right after the game.
Diego, can you confirm that you do plan to return to Vanderbilt next year? And then assuming that you are, what is it that you hope to accomplish next year?
Yeah, as long as the food chain is how it is, you know, Coach Lee, Coach Kill, and everyone stays, Miss Lee stays, and I'll be here too. But, I mean, other than that, I want to win it all. For those who don't know me, I hate losing more than I like winning. I would hate to, I don't want this to sound cocky, but it's just confident. I will never have a losing season. And I told, Coach Kill that walking into today, like, I'm not losing today. And so whatever I have to do to, keep on winning, I'll do it. You know, but the new team coming in on January 6th or something, you know, we got a week to, recover and hang out with our families, then we're back to business.
So he's back, Shade, refused to lose, got it done, 5 touchdowns, bowl game MVP. How much, again, we were kind of down on old Vandy. We'll have to do it again. We may have to do it every month, Shade, where we predict the records for the team in 2025 just because so much is fluid. But now that we know he's back, now that we know Jerry Kill's back, and they're landing guys in the portal and stuff, just I know you're not going to pick Vanderbilt to win the SEC or anything, right. But, I mean, they're a threat to win every damn game now.
Well, I thought that comment nailed it. They were a thorn in the SEC's ass this year. You know, that's really what it was. I mean, it wasn't just the games they won. It wasn't like the Alabama. It was a 7-point game with Texas, 3-point game with Mizzou. Tennessee, they sweated them out a little bit. This is a team that went in there and, shit, a touchdown with LSU. Look how – I mean, this is a team that was so close. I mean, you could argue at least – 8 wins, 9 wins, and coming in, we were like, do they get two? So a lot of this has to do with Pavia. A lot of this has to do with coaching. But man, this was a team that had, you talk about doubters. They had a lot of them, including us at the start of this season, Mike, and they proved every one of us wrong, including this game. I didn't think that they'd beat Georgia Tech, but they did. They came out here, and I felt like, out of all the Georgia Tech, I watched too many Georgia Tech games this year. I watched the Florida State one, and I watched the Georgia one, of course, you know. But this one felt like the only one that was kind of out of hand for them, and it's the Vanderbilt Commodores. So, yeah, just kudos to everything they've done there. But it does change the perspective of this program next year, knowing that all these guys are coming back.
Right. So, like I said, it's not often we get the lead to show with Vanderbilt, Shay, but they deserve it. Well, I wanted to highlight the winners and one other thing.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt landed a commitment from Mississippi State transfer receiver Trent Hudson. He was – so Eli Stowers was his main target at New Mexico State. Mm-hmm. This Hudson was his number two guy. So yeah, they're just getting the band back together again up there in Vanderbilt. And, again, we'll talk Oklahoma here in a minute. But they've been –
Coach Lee even jumped in the stands after this game and celebrated with the fans, you know. That's how pumped up they were. So I love it. I love it.
They finished with more wins than Oklahoma, Auburn.
Yeah, think about that.
And even Kentucky, which, again, Kentucky's terrible right now. But a year ago, they looked like, you know, one of the most consistent teams in this damn conference. Better record than all of them. I mean, that says it all right there, doesn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, another one, Shane, again. We don't get to lead with them much this year, but we're going to give them their due. Come on, Liberty Bowl champs, 39-26. How about them Hogs, Shane? But, I mean, what a game this was. This is Talen Green. My God, Shane, when Talen Green's healthy.
Yeah.
He is incredible. What did he have? 3 touchdowns in this game.
Yep.
341 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, added 81 rushing yards and a touchdown. Averaged over 16 yards per completion. Arkansas averaged over 8.5 yards per play. Jumped out to a 21-3 lead. Desmond James, never even heard of this guy, Shane. First catch of his career. Longest touchdown reception in Arkansas history. 94 yards. It was also the longest catch in Liberty Bowl history. But this was, this was an all-around effort.
Yeah,
had all guys making plays all over the field. Talen Green was lighting up Texas Tech's defense, and they had a little run. They tried to come back there in the second half, but Arkansas said, "The hell with that, we're gonna beat you down," and they did. And man, this was a nice cap to the season. And it wasn't that just a couple weeks ago, Shane. Everybody was piling on. We should have fired Sam Pittman. Yeah. Our program's in disarray. And what do we say? We said, yeah, it looks bad, but do not give this thing a final grade till we see who we add.
Yeah.
And more importantly, who did you not lose? You didn't lose Talen Green. They were very vocal out front. We're bringing him back. He's coming back. So what did that tell you? That tells you they made the commitment there, and they probably had to let some guys go to make up for it. And quite frankly, let go of some guys that maybe were not worth what other schools are willing to pay them. And we'll see next year if that strategy pays off or not. But they got the quarterback done, and this is a game that showcases why that was so important.
Yeah, it really was. And, I mean, we're talking 2 games back-to-back that without the quarterback, we'd be talking about different results here. But, yeah, this is a – this was a big game for them all around, because there was a lot of doubt coming in here. We had a lot of kids that hit the portal. We had some not playing type situation. And, you know, the ones that stuck around said, hey, I want a chance. And I thought that, especially with the receiving corps, I mean, we had 94 yard, 56, 31, 47 yard. You know, these are absolute bombs that a lot of them were yards after catch. So I think it gave some of this youth that maybe we didn't see much of at the start of the season an opportunity. And that's why we like bowl games, Mike, not only for the extra practice, but it's kind of a launch pad into 2025 here. And I do it every year with Arkansas, Mike, but they end the season with this little optimism spike, you know, and so we'll go back to another media days and we'll go in there with the Razorback flag, and we're going to try to lift the spirits of some of those Razorbacks we talked to while we're there. But I'm excited, man. I'm excited about this brand and how important this next year will be. There's no forgiveness in next season. So I'm pumped up for it, man.
Yeah, and I think one thing this game really highlighted, Shane, when you got, you know, nearly a month to prepare, it goes to show you how good of coordinators Arkansas has in Bobby Petrino and Travis Williams at the defensive coordinator position. That combo is one of the best combos in the SEC, probably top five in the SEC.
Yeah.
And as long as Sam Pittman has that, they got us a fighting shot. It was when it was really bad, obviously, was when we had old Dan Enos. So,
yeah,
again, identifying the mistake, getting his ass out of here quickly, hiring a competent coordinator to come in. Year two is when these quarterbacks generally take off, with year two in a system, year two with a quarterback. You know, again, next season, the over-under is not going to be, you know, 9.5, 10 or something crazy like that. But there's no reason Arkansas can't surprise a hell of a lot of people. And quite frankly, if they play like they did in this game on the offensive side of the football, they're going to be competitive in damn near every game.
Well, that was their motto this season, you know, almost could have, you know. And I felt like there were plenty of opportunities. They should have been in a better bowl game, in a better situation, if they would have closed out a few of those games, especially early in the season, and not make some of those dumb mistakes. But I don't know. I saw a quarterback take a huge step forward this weekend, and I think that's important too, because you got to remember he is young, and quarterbacks can develop, and they can learn from mistakes that they've made. And if Taylen Green cleans that up, brother, he may be one of the most electrifying quarterbacks in this league next year.
Yeah, and his former coordinator, Shane, is now the coordinator up there at Kentucky. They're ready to see his ass.
For now.
So, again, yeah, it makes him look that much better, you know, that he was able to be Mountain West Player of the Year with that guy as his coordinator. You know what?
Yeah, absolutely. He makes everybody look good.
Well, you know who's making us look good, Shane?
Who's that, brother?
Cousin Logan Marty.
Come
Logan,
on, cousin.
Welcome to the family. We appreciate you, brother. But
cool picture. Who's that? Bo Nix?
No. I think that's a Missouri man.
Oh, I couldn't see. I'm blind, man.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I'm pretty sure that's Mizzou on his head there.
That's awesome.
Old Brady. That's old Brady. Come on.
Well, I've not seen that picture before. It's a cool one.
How about Sam Pittman after this one, Shane? I love this. You don't win the game of football by talking.
To represent Arkansas and represent the state and the university.
What?
Just how did you think the guys represented the state and university today?
Well, if we can't enjoy that one, then we got major problems. I mean, we played extremely hard. We won the game that we played. You know, I told the kids, this is where we're at. Now we're at the Liberty Bowl, and we've got a new team. We're 0-0. Let's see if we can't go 1-0 against a Texas Tech team that had won, you know, beat Arizona State, beat Iowa, the two championship teams in the Big 12. And I think not only that, but I felt like we played and we had some penalties, and most of them special teams, but which is going to happen when you have several guys out. But I think both teams play with a lot of class. We've seen some bowl games this year that are embarrassing to me, to college football, people up in each other's face and all that. That's not what the game's about. The game's about knocking hell out of each other and then go do it again. You never won a game talking to somebody. And I thought both teams represented college football well tonight doing in that aspect.
I think Pippen was watching that Vanderbilt game. What do you think, Shane?
I think so, man. It did get a little chippy in this one, man. And I just saw it with that Advance Auto. It's like, if there was any coach that would probably frequent Advance Auto the most, I could see it being Sam Pittman, you know, walking in there with his cane, asking for whatever brake pads he needs or something. But I felt like this game was absolutely it was physical, it's fun, and it was chippy. And that's what you like, you know, this it, when it means something, you know. And sometimes these bowl games, it gets lost a little bit. But this one felt like, hey, okay, well, I want to kick this team's ass now, you know.
Right. And one final thing from Pittman, Shane, real quick. At the end of his presser, he's like, hey, I want to say something before I jump off here. This is, I think, the reason why people like us really like Sam Pittman.
We want to say this is that, you know, I don't play it down. The kids went out there and they scored the points and they held them back from the points and all that. And sometimes when we win, I'll get a little credit. And when we lose, I get all the credit. But that's okay. That part of it's okay. But the coach only good as the players and how the players play. And I'm damn proud of mine. So go Hawks.
Yeah. Hey, the man's getting his damn cane. He want to give him credit where credit is due to the players. I always love to hear that.
Absolutely, man. And again, it was youth. And, you know, I just told you about the receivers. Three of them were either freshmen or sophomores, you know, Tesla being the only outlier. And that's I feel like I saw glimmers of hope of how good these kids can be. Because trust me, man, there's a lot of teams out there that don't have weapons to throw to right now.
Right. And one other guy, I want to give him a shout out, Shane. I don't know if you remember this, but this was back in the spring. His name is Rodney Hill, the running back.
Yeah.
He was the guy, he was at Florida State. And he says, unbeknownst to him, his parents hired an agent. Mm-hmm. And was like shopping his name around NIL, trying to get money. He said he had nothing to do with it. Florida State found out and they said, well, your ass got to go.
Yeah.
And then he had to go to Florida A&M, which is not even Division I. And then he tried to transfer to Miami. I don't know what happened, but they said, we don't got a spot for you. So back to Florida A&M. And now he's at Arkansas. He rushed for 81 yards in this football game. Mm-hmm. He may be their starting running back next year. So, you know, things worked out, but not the way he imagined it. And there's a lot of these guys that, you know, the portal, we different conversation for a different day. But, you know, it's done a lot of bad. But it's good to see something like that work out for a guy like that. You know what?
Yeah. I mean, it was good to see Russell committed again, too. I mean, he didn't get a lot of yards, but they sure the hell were committed giving him the ball, you know. But, now this was you know, I thought this would be an ugly game. And at times there were some sloppy mistakes. But I honestly felt like out of all the SEC matchups, again, you're leading off with two of the highlights, if you will. And because there's some negative right around the corner, Mike. I feel it coming.
Right. Well, and last thing. Sam Pittman now, he's won all three of his bowl games.
Yeah.
They got to a fourth during the COVID year. Everybody got to COVID year, but TCU pulled out. But again, 3-0 in bowl games should not be overlooked. Because, hell, a lot of these teams, Hugh Freeze, can't even make a damn bowl game. You know what I mean? So give them some credit there. You know what?
Yeah. There you go. Hey, get ready. Sam propaganda all offseason coming up.
Yep. All right. you know who we're not going to be propagandizing, though?
Who's that?
I hate to say it. These great fans are turning on me, Shane, because I'm telling the damn truth here. But you be the judge. Oklahoma. Oh, buddy, what happened here? We lost to a service academy, 21-20. Yeah, Navy went 10-3 this year. But, man, we had this one. We were up 14-0. After the first two possessions of the football game, I was thinking, damn, Oklahoma's going to dominate these fools. And, you know, the second touchdown was an amazing play. Michael Hawkins, scramble, threw it to Zion Kearney for a 56-yard touchdown. I was like, baby, this is our year. We had the fake fourth down punt was awesome, led to a huge gainer. And I'm thinking, oh, God, I support the military. But I didn't support them on this day, or at least the Naval Academy. You know what I mean? I thought we were going to score 50 on them, going to have a good day. And then this is just like the story of Oklahoma, Shane. We have two touchdowns.
Yeah.
Things are going great. And then we got two straight possessions. We get stopped on fourth down, and it just completely changed the momentum of the football game. Again, we scored the first two possessions of the game. They didn't score again until 6 seconds left in the damn game, right, Shane. This Navy quarterback, you know, God bless him. He can't throw to save his life, but he had a 90-something-yard run. It was the longest run
in Naval Academy history. Good Lord. And that was the difference. Blake, I want to give him a shout out. Blake Horath, I think it was his name, 95-yard touchdown run. Again, he was 7 of 12 passing for 92 yards.
Yeah.
But 155 on the ground and two touchdowns was the difference. And I do credit Brent Venables. I liked him going for two, going for the win. These damn bowl games, we don't need to go to overtime. Yeah. You get the win. You get the hell out of there. It didn't happen. So I don't credit, you know, I'm not mad at him for going for two and not getting it. I guess I'm just more upset with just the way this played out. But
the fact it came down to a two-point conversion, you know, statistically, Oklahoma beat the shit out of Navy.
Yeah.
I just, if you saw the stat lines, you would say, well, clearly Oklahoma ran them out of there. But they didn't. And they let Navy kind of hang around and hang around. They made dumb mistakes there, and especially after that second. You talked about there was a punt, then I think a fumble. It was like they never could capture back that momentum. Navy started staying on the field longer and longer, and the defense can only do so much. And but that's been the storyline for Oklahoma all season long, man. You know, defense right. going to keep you in it. The offense just has to do enough to get a win, and every now and then they surprise us, but for the most part, they don't. And now we got – no coordinators over there. It's like we got birds' heads falling off. <you know?
laughs> Yeah, to your point, Shane, again, Oklahoma had 27 first downs.
Yeah.
Navy had 11.
Hell yeah.
Oklahoma was 11 of 19 on third down. Pretty good. Navy was 4 of 13.
Mm.
Why? And here's the deal, Shane. Again, Michael Hawkins was pretty solid, and they did have 7 drops. We got, you know, that's not on the quarterback. But why in the hell were Oklahoma were throwing the ball 44 times?
Yeah.
I guess a team that does nothing but run the football, that was illogical to me. But, man, this is – so now this is 2 out of 3 seasons. Brent Venables has a losing record. And again, we just gave him a contract extension for God knows what reason, which we caught out at the time, $44-something million buyout. I think that's the only reason he's still the coach today. And then to make it all worse, Shane, you jumped ahead there, but that's all right. It's what you do.
Premature Shane, that's what they call me.
Well, we got a sponsor just for you in just a second here, buddy. But defensive coordinator Zach Alley leaves the next day.
Yeah.
Go to West Virginia. I mean, I wouldn't even consider, I mean, all due respect to West Virginia, that's not a lateral job to Oklahoma. Mm-mm. It's the same position. And apparently he told the players he'd be back. Apparently he had verbally agreed to a contract extension with Oklahoma. But he did work for Rich Rogg. That's the new coach down there in old new coach at West Virginia. So he has worked for him, but this tells me two things, Shane. He likes working for Rich Rod a lot more than he likes working for Brent Venables. And he worked with Brent Venables at Clemson. So this is not like they had a 1 year and it wasn't working out for him. I'm going to go there. This is a tough look. And really what it tells me, Shane, you tell me if I'm being too hot takey, this is crazy. But this tells me that Zach Alley does not have confidence that Brent Venables is going to be the head coach at Oklahoma. Not saying there's no chance he will be, but odds are he may not be for much longer, as opposed to Rich Rogg, who just took the job at West Virginia. I think this is an indictment on Venables.
Yeah, it feels like it, man. It feels like you're at Cracker Barrel and that family of 12 is starting to bag up. You're like, honey, we got to go or we're going to be stuck behind these guys at the register. You know, it's like you don't want to be stuck waiting in the store. So I feel like, you know, and I'm not there. I'm not in the camp. I don't know what was promised, that sort of thing. I mean, we can't rule that out. He may really love Rich Rod, you know? I mean, he may want to be in one of his cowboy videos or something. But I feel like that this is alarming. You know, when I think of Oklahoma, I think of a place that steals coaches, not loses coaches.
Right.
So, it is alarming because now you've got Venables here back against the wall. You know, disappointed. See, the fans are pissed. The fans are so damn hot right now. This was their debut in the SEC, and we've got to replace coordinators on top of that. This is a dicey situation and probably one of the most volatile situations in the offseason, if you ask me. It's like you can't afford
year in a row replacing both coordinators.
Mm. You replace coordinators when you're doing well. You know, it always feels like that's the situation you want to be. Like your coordinators are getting poached because you're doing so well. Now, granted, the defense did do well, but I don't know, man. It's I don't want to rain on their parade, but I think they already know. They already see the writing on the wall, and this is too a final season, if you will, for Venables.
Yeah, and I mean, it just compounding all the events, Shane. I mean, this is a team that finds ways to lose games.
Yeah.
Unless they're playing Auburn. They do to win them. And next year compounds it because it's a similar schedule.
Yeah.
And it's actually even tougher because they get Michigan. Well, I don't think Michigan's going to be like that great or anything, but they do catch Michigan now in the non-conference.
Yeah.
They have to go to Temple. Again, you should destroy Temple. Why you're playing at Temple, I'll never know. But those are the games when your coach is fighting for his life, you don't want to see those on the schedule at Temple, because even if it's like let's say they win 24-20, fans are going to be pissed. They only won by four. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're breaking in a new quarterback. You're breaking in a new offense. The defense will be this similar, obviously, but I don't know. I mean, as soon as this happened, I text Shane. I was like, we're going to have to do a hot seat 2025 show. And I mean, Brent Venables is the reason I want to do it. You know what I mean?
I don't want to give away the list because we got plenty.
Yeah, we'll save the list. But
he would definitely be in the top three scenario, if not top two. So, and it's not the worst part is after these bowl games, there's that 5-day window for these kids to get their portal paperwork too. So it's like, you thought it was bad. It still could get worse, you know, if you're banking on some of these guys to come back and they hit that portal.
Right. Mm-mm-mm. It's tough. Tough, tough look, Shane.
Holidays ain't for everybody, you know? You know? That's why they put bourbon in eggnog.
Well, I got a way you could spice up that eggnog, Shane.
There we go.
You were talking about performance issues. New sponsor, Joy Mode. What is this? Sexual performance booster, Shane.
Ooh,
I'm going to try not to laugh as I read this. Whether you're looking to spice it up or increase your confidence, Joy Mode, all-natural, science-based supplement dedicated to helping men like us perform across the core functions, Shane. All you got to do, I wanted to read, they literally told me to say this, Shane. This is hilarious. Simply mix 6 to 8 ounces of water, 45 minutes before sexual activity, and watch the magic unfold.
Ooh, damn. If you're just now tuning in.
But again, try joymode.com/SEC. Get 20% off your entire order. That's 20% off free shipping with code SEC at joymode.com. They sent some over to me, Shane. Joy Mode over here, let me tell you that. You know what I'm saying? And not only, Shane, I know you're trying to help with the weight loss and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
This product helps, supports blood vessel support, cardiovascular heart and health, athletic performance, and blood pressure. You might as well take it just for that. You know what?
Oh, man, what's that promo code again?
Joy Mode SEC, 20% off.
Oh, gosh, man.
You know who also needs some joy, Shane?
Who's that, man?
Who ain't getting it? Ain't getting it. That's funny. See what I did? A&M, come on. Whoa, my God. What? Jay, this is the most disappointing damn game, bowl game of the whole damn thing. This is, gosh, Shane, we were up 24-7, A&M was, with 4 minutes remaining in the third quarter.
Jeez.
24-7 in the four minutes left in the third quarter. We blew this damn game, Shane. I'll never know. They even scored, A&M scored with 1:49 left, the go-ahead score, and then turned right around and let them march all the way down the field with 8 seconds to win a damn game. A&M is a damn disaster. Shane, they opened the season. I'm going to throw up our damn schedule here because this is pissing me off just thinking about it, Shane. They opened 7-1. They were 5-0 in the SEC. They were in the driver's seat to Atlanta to make the college football playoff. And what do? I mean, they just did what they always damn do and finish, hell, even worse than 8-4. 8-4 is the joke. Texas, 8-4. They're 8-5. Absolute collapse down the stretch. The defense, which I thought we had this defensive guru, he needs to get his head out of his ass and teach some pass defense. And because we didn't have it, Shay. We didn't have it the last month of the season and last 2 months of the season and any meaningful game that we had. And Mike Elko, to his credit, he was pissed after this game. He was calling people out. Well, he's really calling himself out, but
yeah.
This is the most damn disappointing team in the whole SEC to me.
Yeah, yeah. You talk about, like, you know how they have, like, comeback player of the year, comeback team of the year?
Mm-hmm.
They're, like, the exact opposite. You know, they started out strong. We had the parades. A&M's back. They're competing for championships. And since, really, October, man, they have really tanked. And you know, you could blame the players to a certain extent, but this one, I blame this coaching staff. And there is no rhyme, no reason that this team should have got back into this game. Not just make it competitive. There's no way they should have won it. I would have gave my mortgage payment on this thing. I was so confident. But damn, USC with another SEC win. They got 7 wins this year, 2 of them against the SEC. That blows my mind.
Shane, be honest with me.
Always.
How many? I had several. How many Lincoln Riley memes did you have ready to post after
queued
this
up?
One?
I was queued up, man. I was ready.
I had 2 of them. I had to burn those bad boys. You know what?
Oh, like he does brisket. I had that one up. That's my favorite is his brisket. But no, I hate it because, you know, this is a coach that tried to run from LSU. He ran from the SEC, and yet they find a way to get 2 wins. And it's just, they shouldn't have. They shouldn't have beat LSU. They shouldn't have beat A&M. This is embarrassing, man. This is an embarrassing loss. And again, this is where they look at, Mike. When we talk about the SEC and how great it is, they're like, well, shit, you lost to USC. Mm-hmm. You know, they got smoked by ABC, you know, Ohio State. It's whatever. It's crazy to me.
And A&M won the turnover battle. They won the rushing battle by damn near 50 yards.
Mm-hmm.
But here's, you know, obviously, I'm going to play some Elko here, heat it up in a second. But their quarterback, Mayava, I think is how you say his name, through 2.5 quarters, Shane, he had 69 passing yards. Nice. 1 touchdown, 2 picks. And then there in the final, you know, quarter and a half, 226 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 4 touchdown drives, in 4 touchdown drives and 5 drives. Outscored him 28-7. To close it out. And a friend of the show, this guy does a hell of a job if you're not following him already. Vegas handicapper, Brad Powers.
Yeah.
Now, this ain't all on Mike Elko, but this is 100%, you know, true. This was very Kevin Sumlin, Jimbo Fisher type year for Elko. Start hot, fade quickly. The Aggies went 3-10 against the spread. And how about this? This is the most damning thing. And this is the program. They've changed coaches multiple times. They obviously change players all the time. Texas A&M has now lost at least 4 games in a season, 24 of the last 26 years.
Wow.
They got to get over this. They have got to shake this, Shane, and it's got to start immediately. Your damn rival may win the national championship. You're losing a fucking Southern Cal in a garbage bowl, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that clip where he talks about this is the flagship station. Flagship. You know what I'm saying? I like that one, that little key. I bullshit. You know, that's what it is, brother. Texas comes over here and they're winning the first round of college football playoffs, and you guys are finding ways to lose games, crucial games, important games at the tail end of the season. And I know bowl games, we sit here and we can't talk out both sides of our mouth, say bowl games matter and bowl games don't matter. I think for programs like A&M, it matters. Year one, Coach Elko matters, you know? And
yeah.
I feel like we want to kind of lift up that 2025 season. And I felt like this would have been an opportunity to kind of take that step, say, hey man, we've got some rest. We got a little health back on our side. Let's take this to the next level. And we didn't get it. We got another disappointment, another A&M-esque game.
Yeah, and I'll make a promise to you, Shane. I'll make a promise to all the cousins. After that final 2 months of the season,
yeah,
I promise I will not hype A&M up until they actually do it, which they may never do it based on that stat that we just threw at you with Brad Powers. You know what?
Was he in the casino? Is that true? Is that picture true? I was wondering. I have no problems with you gambling, but I feel like that's something you should do after the game, you know?
And yeah, I don't know. I mean, that could have been taken any time for all I know.
That's
you know?
Why I didn't say it. That's why. I did say it. I did say it.
Well, let's kick it over to Elko. He was pissed after this one, as he should have been.
hats off to USC. They made the plays they needed to make to win the game, and so give them credit for that. Hats off to the seniors who stayed with this thing and played this game. Thought they played their hearts out. I think the story of the game is the story of our season. You know, we can't cover the forward pass well enough to be a good football team, and so that's my fault. So, questions?
Coach, were you on a pre-bet or anything
like that? No. But I rushed four every single snap. Can't cover.
When Marcel scored, did you have any apprehension that there was so much time still left on the clock?
I have a lot of apprehension when the other team's going to drop back and throw the ball. I've had apprehension all season, starting with Florida. We got lucky. Starting against Missouri, we got lucky. LSU threw for 400 yards. It's been a problem all season. So it's on me, and I got to fix it.
Dang. Two of their best wins. He said we got damn lucky to beat Florida and beat Missouri.
Oh, man.
I appreciate the honesty. Yeah. You know what?
Well, I mean, if you're a fan and you watched A&M games all year long, you're like, hey, you may be right. I don't know about the Mizzou one, but definitely the LSU. That was an eye-opener for me, because I thought one thing about Elko coming over here was we were going to have that tough, tenacious defense again, which we did up front, and they did create mistakes. I mean, they had, what, three picks in this game? Mm-hmm. But it's like, if they didn't get those, what would have happened? You know, this could have been a blowout. So,
Cousin Malcolm says, Elko needs them boner pills. Send them.
Oh, geez.
Damn, I was just so disappointed in this damn team, Shane. They had it all right there, and they let it slip through their damn fingers.
What's that positive? You got something positive that you can – is there I mean, it was a close game, and it came down to the wire, but is there like a positive spin, just overall picture from expectations coming into this season to where we're at right now? Give me a glimmer of hope. Give me something, Mike, to be pumped up about 2025.
About A&M?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're adding all these guys in the portal. They're bringing back the quarterback, maybe five starting offensive linemen. They need the running backs to be healthy. I mean, they could have a really dynamic offense, but could have, should have. I mean, we could sit here and spin zone every damn team, you know? Yeah. I'm tired of it. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not hyping them up. They win a damn game, and then they fooled us this year, 7-1. My God, coach of the year here. Coach, biggest dud at coaching of the year, you know what?
Yeah, yeah.
And watch Connor Wigman become a Heisman winner at Houston, you know what?
Yeah.
How awful would that be?
Elko's like that guy that's got that magic trick, but he's done it so many times you kind of catch on what he's doing, you know? At first, it was like, oh, man, how the hell did he do that? You know, now you're like, oh, okay, I see he's moving it with the cup there.
Yep. All right, hey, we got to move on, Shane.
Yeah.
We got a game tomorrow. She's doing a video. That's not what I wanted. We got a game. Let's see if I can pull her up here. Mizzou at Iowa. Shane, here in the Music City Bowl.
Yep.
Again, hell, I mean, they already know what we're picking and all that, Shane. But Mizzou favored by 3 over Iowa. Mm-hmm. Just thoughts on what you want to see from Missouri, which has got a very few opt-outs. Got Luther Burden's not playing. Got a couple others. But, you know, again, this... Well, here, let me play this first. I got a clip here from old Drink.
Yeah.
Similar to his old Bamboo. Remember that? Bamboo takes a while. I really like this, though. I thought this was great. It was kind of a similar message, but it strikes me as kind of the theme of what it takes to be a Missouri Tiger. And there have been a lot of guys that jumped in that portal that left as youngsters. And this is kind of like the receiver down there at Georgia who's never had a season like he had at Mizzou. I think this is Drink's way of kind of saying that. And I screwed up the recording, just so be prepared.
How much do you put your energy and focuses into the guys that are still there that are trying to be part of Mizzou next year going forward after this game?
Yeah, that's a great question. We're a developmental program. We've always been. We play Monday Night Football with our underclassmen to try to consistently get them better, and that's part of the process. The only way to get better at football is to practice, and you have to have a mindset that always improve, right? And so for us, what a great opportunity for some of our underclassmen. I've said this before. We had an unbelievable event last night. I appreciate the Music City Bowl hosting an event at the Gaylord Opry and being able to listen to some songwriters talk about a few different things. But one of the songwriters, she had moved to Nashville. She'd been here for 9 years. And when she first got here, she had no idea what it was going to take to become a professional writer, right? And you just don't walk up and get hired. You have to work, and you have to survive. You have to sustain, and you have to go through some tough times. And she actually started that dog sitting business and was, I'm not going to use the word, but she had this dog sitting business. She would go and babysit dogs of famous country Music City artists, and she would follow them and pick up their business in the grass. And she's like, I'm chasing my dream doing this, right? And she's a wildly successful writer. She's had 3 number ones in the last 2 years. And it was just for me a reminder that I wish my players could hear that story, because there's no such thing as an instant success. And whether or not you're recruited based off your potential, no matter where you go, you got to develop. You got to get better. And you see all these guys jumping in the portal after 6 months of being on campus. And that's just not real life. That's like a country music star or a country music writer or star. You drive up and down Broadway, there's people playing in every single bar. And they're extremely, extremely talented. There's 132 Division I football teams, and everybody's got talent. Talent's not enough. You got to work hard. You got to face the tough stuff, and you got to keep pressing forward. And so I hope that our players will continue to embrace that and learn from it and understand that just because you don't hit, just because you're not where you want to be right now, doesn't mean that door's closed. It just means you got to keep knocking.
Just keep knocking, Shane. Just like the bamboo. Takes a while. Can't see it growing down there, but it's coming. And when it comes, it's going to be stronger than ever. You know what?
I love it. I mean, it's a good point. I mean, that's the hard part. You know, it's watching the portal. And, I always think about that. You know, there's that side of you that feels like the grass is greener. And I got to remember the kids, but we've all done it too. We've all left jobs for another job because we thought it was a better situation. But, you got to remember these kids they got so many people in the ear saying, hey man, you're not getting paid what you're worth, man. This is what he's making. And you ultimately think you're better than A, B, and C. And so it's just it's a murky business, and I hate it. I'm not a fan of the current system. I feel like it's almost like you got to get them the second or third time. Yeah. It's like you recruit them, which is great, but you don't want the freshman. You want the junior that, maybe had 2 seasons elsewhere and got a little, it's kind of funny, but he plays the portal well, and it giveth and taketh. And I think he makes some good points, but it's moot points. The kids aren't listening. This is the advice that they don't hear. They hear it, but it's just like me telling my kid to clean her room or you got to do this and that. Yes, whatever it takes to get the $20 she wants. But at the end of the day, these kids aren't listening. They're thinking about themselves and their family. And I can't blame them, because I'd do it too, especially if I was that age.
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought that was an interesting clip, because again, this is his theme. This is his messaging. And he was also asked, if you win, that'll be 2 consecutive 10-plus win seasons, which is a rarity for any SEC program. Yet you're on the doorstep, and he basically poo-pooed that and said, hey, this is a glorified exhibition. They're saying in the comments he's taking heat locally. I think that's 100% accurate. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, if you appreciate the bowl games for what they are, they're fun. You're getting to see a lot of young players.
Yeah,
you're missing some stars, but it's not make or break. But it can be an indictment, like a Venables. if the season did not go the way you wanted it, it's further evidence that maybe they, just people go get angry one way or another.
Yeah,
and they're not going to celebrate you much if you win it either. Like I'm already seeing that from Arkansas people.
10 win season, 2 years, 10 win season.
Yeah,
I mean. Think about that. Auburn would have killed for that. A&M would have killed for that. Florida. You could go down the list. Kentucky. There's all these teams that would would love nothing more than to be where you're at right now. And I feel like that's the problem, is sometimes we get in these windows. Hell, as a Tennessee fan, I'm wrapped up in it too. You know, they're so pissed that we lost in a playoff game that we were in. I mean, we were not in a playoff game or a playoff situation 7 years ago, 8 years ago. It's like, we're in it. And, but again, you get in these little windows and you're like, damn, we're so close. We just need this. The expectations were extremely high for Mizzou, probably our fault, you know, coming into this season. And you made some mistakes along the way and you didn't have the season quite that you wanted to. But no, I feel like don't lose sight to where you're at, you know, enjoy 10 win seasons. Cause damn, there was a lot of years, a lot of teams that don't get them.
Right. And I think you got to have both, Shane.
Yeah.
So you win 21 games in 2 years, let's say, mm-hmm. if they win the bowl game here, then that's what you point to the players.
Yeah.
We're going to come here. We get you to the NFL. We're going to win a lot of games. You're going to have fun. And then hopefully, you know, they got parents or guardians or what have you that really see the bigger picture, and he can sell the bamboo, the dog walker story too. You know what I mean? I think you got to have both. I really do.
Yeah, no, it's got to be a mixture. These days, you got to have a mixture. And those that perfect this art will be here for a long time. But some are going to – they're going to beat the horn, beat the drum, and or not make the over – you know, they don't make the right moves, and then they get left behind. And say what you want, like guys like Saban and stuff. I feel like he didn't want to – he saw where it was going. He didn't want to deal with stuff like this. He – you know, it's a new kid's game. And you see coaches like Drink, and you see them like Lane Kiffin and all these guys, Sark. They figured it out. And it's not perfect, but they've got at least a system that's getting them to 10, 11 win seasons every year.
Right. And speaking of that, Shane, also, since we've been gone, Mizzou picked up Penn State transfer quarterback.
Yeah.
Bo, I'm going to butcher this, Pribula. I'll learn it at some point. But apparently, Shane, he signed a $1.5 million deal. I don't believe he's ever started a game in college. He was the backup at Penn State, played quite a bit, but mostly in, you know, blowouts and packages. Yeah. He's a very good runner. He reminds me a little bit of Brady Cook, what little I have seen. Just a dynamic runner that can obviously throw the football too. But, man, thoughts on that? Again, we don't know much about this guy just yet, but Mizzou's stepping up, paying a lot of money. And, of course, that's not a lot of money if you – depending on where you go, Shane. Apparently, the Duke quarterback's getting $4 million a year.
Did he sign officially? Is it
this Mizzou quarterback?
No, the Duke guy.
Oh yeah. He ain't turning down $4
million. Yeah. I didn't know. 1.5. No, that's a lot of money. And but it's important that your school can do that. Some don't have the luxury of spending that much money for a quarterback. And I like it. I've seen, you know, I've not done a deep dive into the kid, but I tell you what, you talk about runner. He's more athletic than Cook, in my opinion. So
right.
I feel like that's kind of what we've missed at times, because Brady had a tendency to run this year, probably when he shouldn't, because he was getting caught. You know, this kid, he's got some wheels on him. So he's going to bring a little spark to that offense next season for sure.
Mm. Well, you mentioned Nick Saban, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard this? James Franklin. It's a long one, but I think it's a good one here. He wants Nick Saban to be the commissioner of college football.
Ugh.
Sorry, it's not a new topic, but with the quarterback who played a half a game yesterday and your backup quarterback situation, is there anything that can be done to incentivize playing for the team you're on as opposed to thinking about what's going to happen next?
Yeah, it's a challenge that I think has been a challenge for a number of years. It's obviously become even more challenging with some of the things with the calendar and with the transfer portal, the windows, and then on top of that, NIL. So it is a challenge, and I think it's one of these things that we can't just keep talking about, that this is a challenge and a problem in college football. We got to come up with some solutions. And, you know, we've been talking about this for a while. A lot of different people have brought it up. I'm one of the people that feel very, very strongly that we need a commissioner of college football. We need somebody that's waking up every single morning and going to bed every single night thinking about what's in the best interest of college football. Right now, I think that's being done by the commissioners. But whenever you have people that are making decisions and running college football, they're going to be biased towards what's best to their conference, and that's not in the best interest of college football and the student athletes. So I'm a big proponent for that, but we just can't keep talking about this being a problem. We got to come up with some solutions. What are possibly some of those solutions? For me, and again, I know whenever a coach says this, people don't want to hear it from coaches, but I think if every decision we make is based on money, then we're in the wrong, we're heading in the wrong direction. We should be doing what's best for college football and the student athletes. So to me, getting rid of the conference championship games would help with that, because right now not everybody's playing a conference championship game anyway. So when you have a committee sitting in a room trying to compare apples to apples or oranges to oranges, it's hard to do that when not everybody's playing under the same model. Get rid of the conference championship game. That will shorten the season and help with the window a little bit. The other thing that I think is very, very important is that everybody's playing the same number of conference games, whether that's 8, 9, whatever the number is, everybody's playing the same. So again, the committee can compare apples to apples. And then I think we start a week earlier. Let's start a week earlier, because I think if you can take some of the stress off of the academic calendar, again, God forbid we talk about academics, right? You know, that used to be every conversation started with academics, and that's becoming less and less. And maybe I'm old school and maybe a traditionalist, but I still believe in the model. So there's some recommendations. Rather than just saying this is a problem, I thought I would throw out a few recommendations. But I think one of the most important things that we can do is let's get a commissioner of college football that is waking up every single morning and going to bed every single night, making decisions that's in the best interest of college football. I think Nick Saban would be the obvious choice that I think if we made that decision. Now, Nick will probably call me tonight and say, like, don't do this. You know, but I think he's the obvious choice, right? I think there's some other really good.
So how about it, Shane? Nick Saban for college football commissioner.
The czar. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see him back in the office. And you know, he's right. But I feel like that's where we're heading. I mean, the parity between us and the NFL is very, I mean, we're going down the same path. And I feel like there'll be an opportunity for it to be four conferences, like divisions, and then all of a sudden we're playing each other 9 times and maybe 3 of Big Ten or 3 of the ACC. You know, maybe this year we're doing ACC, next year. And then that way we can actually have, you know, that's what he talks about is at the end of the day, it is so tough to figure out who's – it's tough for a committee. I give the committee a tough time, right? Clearly, SMU, teams like that should not be in there. But it's tough to compare the Big Ten and the SEC because the body of proof that we have between these are so far and few between, you know? What we saw week one is not what we see week 12. And I would love to see that. I eventually think it's going to get there where we're doing maybe 9 conference and then 3 of, you know, Big Ten or ACC. And then at the end of the day, when we're trying to put those, you know, teams into the playoffs, we can say, okay, this list makes better sense. So, but there's every coach that we ever have on here has bitched and moaned about the NIL and the transfer portal and the calendar and blah, blah, blah. And words are words. I felt like that was the biggest point for me, Mike. It's like we can all sit here and complain about where we're at, but what are we doing to fix it? And I think that's probably already happening, but I would imagine, especially when we have these coaches meeting down there in Florida later this year, there's going to be some serious conversations about the future of college football. So It cannot stay the way it is. It is broken right now. So they will fix it, or at least try to fix it. I just hope they don't overcorrect and make it worse. We love college football and the way it is. And we love the fact it's not the NFL too, you know.
Yeah.
I understand that side of it as well. I don't want to take away the passion of this sport, but clearly something has to happen.
What if Saban came in and fixed it all, but said it like the way he liked it?
Yeah.
And he's back at Alabama ruining our lives again. You know what?
Yeah, just go ahead and set the system on cruise control and then come down there. No, I think Saban's done, man, but he loves this sport, clearly, or he wouldn't be there at game day. He loves being around it, and I don't think he likes the camera in his face. He's never liked that, but he wants to be involved with the sport. So being a commissioner, I think, would be the obvious choice. And say what you want, diehard SEC fan, diehard SEC coach, I would love nothing more than to put him in the office.
Yeah. Hey, a couple quick hitters real quick, Shane. Carson Beck declared for the NFL draft, so I don't know if it's official. I mean, he's put it out there. You know, he officially has said all this. But, again, we'll see. Duke quarterback's making $4 million. Yeah. Someone offers him $8 million. Does he change his mind? I don't know. But I'm just throwing that out there. Sounds like Texas receiver got great news. Isaiah Bond, he will play against Arizona State, according to Pete Thamel. And their starting right tackle, Cameron Williams, game time decision.
Yeah.
So those are two great injury notes for Texas. How about this one, Shane? I this one caught me a little bit off guard here. LSU Harold Perkins returning for a senior season. He's announced that. But the rumor is he'll play nickel. So a completely different position.
Hmm.
Thoughts on that one?
Well, I mean, you've put him everywhere else, you know, so might as well try. I mean, I like Perkins, and I will continue to root for him no matter what. But
yeah,
clearly LSU could not figure out where he needs to be, and I hope this is it, because this is it. This is the last dance for him. He needs to, you know, he wants to go to the NFL. This is just a freak athlete that you don't quite know what to do with, and maybe this is the spot, brother. Maybe this is the spot he needed. So I'm very interested to see what it looks like.
Yeah, and then A&M just added right before we hopped on, receiver Kevin Concepcione from NC State.
Yeah.
Shane knows that name from Tennessee, giving him a waxing down there. But
I was hoping he'd come to the Sixers. We ain't got none.
Lost the damn bowl game. They ponied up to pay his price tag, if I had to guess. And you know what, buddy? If any opportunity I get to troll old Hugh, I'm going to take it. Did you see this? Walker White, their quarterback that transferred out, was, you know, five-star, borderline five-star guy, just a true freshman. He's going to Baylor. And he says here about going to Baylor, "I'm excited that there's a clear plan for quarterback development." So clear shot there to old Hugh Freeze as he walks his way out of the plains. But I was not going to pass up that opportunity. You know what?
You are still the Grinch, man. Still in all Auburn's joy.
And then, I know you've been wanting to talk about this, Shane. Boo Carter's back at Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah.
And the rumor has it, saw what old Colorado guy did, and he's, "I will play both ways."
Yeah.
So apparently that was part of the deal. Obviously, he's getting a pay bump. He was outstanding as a kick returner. He was really good as a defensive back as a true freshman. Now playing. What if Tennessee's got that two-way guy this year?
Yeah, no, I'm all for it. I mean, there was a couple names that were rumored to hit the portal. Hell, even Nico. There was talk about Nico hitting the portal. There was Matthews. I don't know if he had planned, and then they said he's not officially. And
they're trying to get him to get a new deal. And if they get him, if they lock him down to a new deal, he's staying.
I think Tennessee needs him to stay. I mean, you're talking about a squad that lost Squirrel, lost Thornton, you know, already kind of a banged up area. So you definitely want to keep that five-star, because that was the guy that everyone talked about. You know, we had Price. He was like talking about how good this kid can be, and we never felt like we really got to see it. So it'd be great if they locked that one down. But I'd like seeing Boo. Boo is another one. Once I heard that, I was kind of, man, that one hurt. But getting him back, I think that's big for Heupel, and that's what you're going to do. You're going to see that these kids got to get their money, and now once you lock them in, it's like, okay, now we can build around type situation.
And then the last one, hate to hear it, Shane. Brock Vandergriff.
Yeah.
Retires, Kentucky quarterback. What was your favorite moment of the Brock Vandergriff era? And you cannot say the phone clip.
Phone clip? Damn. The phone clip, man. I nearly knocked off Georgia. He was fun talking about it. I honestly, all offseason, I felt like I thought the kid had a lot of upside. He had a ceiling that was higher than most, and we didn't get to see that. So I feel like the buildup and, yeah, probably the Ole Miss win, that would have been the best one. But,
yeah,
I hate to hear that. Why is he retiring?
Kept Kiffin out of the playoff.
why did he retire? Medical?
I think just, yeah, I don't.
Farming, you know?
Something,
yeah. I mean, have you seen Kentucky lately? Shit, I'd retire too, I guess. Come back to that shit show? No, I think I'm out.
Hey, appreciate you, Giggum. Hey, Bart,
thanks, cuz.
He gave us a donation. And then Rodney, appreciate you, brother. He gave us $10, Shane.
Come on, cuz. Thank you.
Tired of the sunshine pumpers around OU acting like everything's okay. They say we are spending more money on the portal, but looks like we are shopping off the clearance rack at Walmart. And then Gina, appreciate you. $5. So
thank you, Gina.
There's all our supers for the day. But, buddy, anything else before we hop off the line?
No. I just we'll be back tomorrow. What's our plan?
Steven on tomorrow.
All right. So
I'm going to preview these playoff games and get his thoughts on the biggest additions and subtractions via the portal, coaching, news, and notes, all that stuff.
Yeah, all right. Well, get on there. Check us out tomorrow. Have those notifications on. And it's still a little dicey around the holidays, so if you have your notifications on, you'll be notified once we're on. But we've got a lot of cool stuff to get into, Mike, after these games, too. I mean, we still got a lot of playoff to play. We got a lot of bowl games to go and a lot of portal talk, a lot of coaches. So there's a lot of content heading your way, and I hope everybody had a Merry Christmas. And that's why the portals were a little loaded, or the supers were a little loaded. Everybody's broke after the holidays. I get it.
If you get a new device,
hop
on there, give us a 5-star review, subscribe. I don't know if it's the same on YouTube. I think it might be, but hell, just create a new account, subscribe there as well. We're trying to get to 30,000, but whatever you can do. I mean, these things are free and they really help us out. So
absolutely,
we appreciate each and every one of you this Christmas and New Year's right around the corner. We'll be hanging around. You know what?
I'll be lean, mean, fight machine this time next year, Mike.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, I appreciate you, as always.
Has it been 45 minutes? I got to go. I'm coming, honey.
All right, brother.
See you, brother.
Let's see if I can end this damn thing.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.